Going to the game?
I am going to the game.
Okay. Bill Flores here, our congressman. Appreciate you coming in this morning. Out in the district, hearing from folks.
We are. Actually, we started our summer town hall series. And as you're aware, we try to put include our smaller communities in that summer town hall series. So I was in Caldwell last night. I'll be in Franklin at lunch today. And then we'll do our last physical town hall in Waco tonight. Then tomorrow night, to give everybody a chance that wasn't part of one of those physical town halls, we'll have a big teletown hall. And so we'll call 40,000 households. And generally, we'll have 5,000 to 6,000 people participate in those town halls.
All right. So what did you hear last night?
Well, what we heard, the same thing I've heard for quite a while. Americans are frustrated. They're frustrated with this out-of-control president and the regulatory regime that he's had for the last several years. They're frustrated because they watch their paychecks go sideways. We've got a higher percentage of Americans living paycheck to paycheck than we've ever lived before. They're watching their neighbors slip into poverty or slip out of the middle class. They're worried about national security. They're worried about border security. They just feel like they've been abandoned by Washington. And so that's one of the reasons we're rolling out the Better Way agenda. And so that gives me a chance to sort of transition and talk about the fact that, A, we hear everybody, and then, B, we've got a solution, again, depending on the political choices American people make in November.
Sure. One of the things, you know, you mentioned overreach. One of the things we talked about Monday was, I think last Friday, National Transportation Safety Board talked about electronically capping the speeds of buses and trucks. Yeah, either 60, 65, or 68 miles an hour. Is that going to be an edict from the federal government, or is Congress going to get to vote on that, or what do you know about that?
Well, if Congress had a chance to vote on it, Congress would stop that. The challenge that we have in Washington today is that the regulators will pass something, and then we in the House will use the Congressional Review Act to stop it. And then it'll die in the Senate, or if the Senate, is bold enough to bring it up and pass it, then the president vetoes it. So the Congressional Review Act really doesn't do a very good job of being able to put Congress back in the seat of being able to control the rulemaking that comes out of Washington. We cover that in a Better Way agenda. And we've got to start getting Congress in a position to have the ability to deal with those things. The way the regulations are written, those regulators can do whatever they want to now, unfortunately.
Well, I think Americans feel that way, whether it's a Republican in the White House or a Democrat in the White House. How do we bring the branches of government back to what our Constitution designed?
Well, the way the Constitution was designed is that Congress writes all the laws, as we know under Article 1. Unfortunately, over the last several decades, and this predates my time in Congress, Congress has given the regulators by writing statutes sloppily, they've given the regulators the ability to find ways to reinterpret the original congressional intent. And then Congress, because it didn't have a sort of a stopgap measure or an approval method, has allowed them to do that. What we propose to do is totally change the rulemaking structure where Congress, follows Article 1, passes a statute, and then the statute goes to Article 2 branch, the president. They write the rules, but then the rules don't go into effect ever until Congress specifically affirms that rule, says it's okay. And so we've got to reset it back the way the founders envisioned, and we propose that in a better way.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us this morning. How much time did you have to spend defending your presidential nominee last night?
Last night, really none. the comments run the gamut about Mr. Trump. One is some people want me to have a full-throated endorsement of him, and I have actually done that. I did that the day in the convention, the day after Cruz did his non-endorsement. And some people, I had a mock election last night at the Caldwell Town Hall, and we had a few people that voted for neither Trump or Clinton. And then I think we had one person vote for Clinton. Everybody else was for Trump. So I was surprised that Trump did as well as he did because he has been a controversial candidate. That said, what he's done, it seems like the last 2 weeks he's gotten back on message. He's paying attention to what it means to run against another person on the ballot and not run against all these other bright, shiny objects. And so when he stays disciplined, his poll numbers come up. And so because he's obviously touching something the American people are frustrated about. 70% of the country thinks we're going the wrong direction. And they're frustrated with Washington. And so his message appeals to them. if he can just stay on that message, I think he'll do okay. But I didn't have to defend him, surprisingly enough. Now, what I did here is a lot of people don't like him, but they really, really, really don't like Secretary Clinton.
Sure. He's going to speak tonight in Arizona about immigration.
Right.
It appears, at least, that he's moving, for as many times as he bashed the president, it appears he's moving to the idea of we need to really flush out the illegals, the felons, the gang members. Do you feel like he's moderated his stance on immigration and you're more comfortable with it?
Well, let me say this. I think he's moved his position to where the American people are. If you ask the American people about where they stand on the folks that are here illegally today, about 80% of the population says two things. One is get rid of the bad people, send them back home. And number two is come up with a path to legal status for the folks that are left, the people that are here trying to work and raise their families, but come up with a way so that they reconcile themselves with the law. They broke the law. And so, but they're fine with some sort of a path to say, okay, pay a fine, pay your back taxes, go through a background check, learn English, you know, promise allegiance to the United States, and you can have a temporary residency card or visa of some type. And then after you've been here 5 or 10 years and you've kept your nose clean, then you can have permanent residence, but not citizenship. So there's no amnesty involved in this program. We just had that vote last night again. I've been doing this in our town hall since 2013, and we just had that vote again last night in the Caldwell town hall, and I heard the same thing, and that's about 80. This district is about 80% on the same page as that path to legal status, as is the rest of the country. And so I'm hopeful that Trump will hear that.
Well, one of the things that Trump does, and it's almost like responsive reading in church, he ends with who's going to build the wall, and they respond Mexico.
Right,
now,
right.
Where do we go with that?
Well, let me say this. I think let's say we build a wall in South Texas along the Rio Grande. We're basically ceding a big chunk of Texas in the United States to the country of Mexico, because you have to pull that wall in back from the border, and you're going to cut farms in half and ranches in half, or cut off a big chunk of that. Basically say, okay, Mexico, this belongs to you. That's not a good solution. You know, based on my travels to Iraq and Afghanistan, I've seen how you can have security. And so it's a combination of walls in some areas. I mean, like I can see putting a wall across Arizona because you don't have to worry about the Rio Grande River. But then you use blimps or drones, whatever you want to use, and then you have cameras and ground sensors, a fair number of boots on the ground of Border Patrol. And so you have an integrated system. And then the main thing we need is the will to enforce that. And that's what Trump does bring, is the will to enforce border security. That's something we haven't had with this president and some of the presidents before him. And so I think if you have the will, we've got the ways to do it. But I don't think it's a wall necessarily. I think it's some sort of an integrated system.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us. Let's touch for a minute on terrorism. Our good friend Ben Downs got a chance to interview Congressman McCall of the Texas Association of Broadcasters a couple of weeks ago and came away not feeling comfortable because the reality of the lone wolf, the local radicalized individual, does seem to change our focus from a national level. What are you hearing, and where do we need to be going with terrorism?
Well, the same thing is, I mean, let me say this. I think the administration obviously showed its stripes yesterday when Secretary Kerry said that what we need to see is less media attention about terrorist attacks. Well, that's burying their head in the sand, but that's not uncommon with this administration. What we've got to do is we've got to have the will to fight the terrorist, not only here, but abroad. And Michael McCall is right. We've got to come up with a solution to empower our local law enforcement personnel to be able to protect their communities, to work with state law enforcement officials and also with the federal government. The main thing we've got to do is we've got to beat these folks over in the Middle East so that they don't spread. I mean, the president's beating his chest talking about how much territory ISIS has given up, but he's only talking about Syria and Iraq. He's conveniently left out the fact that they're in Yemen and Libya and down in some parts of Africa, Egypt. They're attacking, you know, they've had brazen attacks in Europe and attacks here in the United States from folks that have gotten radicalized. We've got to have a full 360-degree solution to push back and defeat them. everywhere.
Well, we can say this morning that the number two guy in ISIS was killed. That was announced yesterday, Adani. And so, again, that's
we need to get Baghdadi, though.
Yeah. That's a surgical strike, and that's, you know, and that's probably the most efficient way to be able to take these individuals out. But again, and one at a time, onesies takes a while to get there. That's
true.
Sure.
And so, to me, we've got to do much better than we have. And this really, if you think about it, this, has got to have an Arab face on it. I was just in Jordan and Israel a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things I heard again and again is, if you work with moderate Middle Eastern leaders like King Abdullah from Jordan, with the leaders of the Gulf states, the UAE and Bahrain and Dubai and Qatar, and also with the leadership in Saudi Arabia, they would like to join together. Now, the United States and the Western countries will need to provide support when it comes to intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance and so forth, and also some air power, air cover. If we could put an Arab face on a Middle Eastern solution, we would be a lot better off than what we've done now. And the time is right to do that, because all of those countries I just named are really freaked out about the growth in Iran and how Iran is continuing to export terrorism through all that part of the Middle East. And so it's basically the conflict that we're seeing, a recreation of the conflict that existed eons ago, and that's between Persia and Arabia. And so we need to be on the side of the Arab community to try to help them with this.
Sure. History does repeat itself. Finally, let's talk about the family squabble inside the Republican Party, because earlier this week, the head of the Freedom Caucus said he's probably not going to be renewing his membership in the Republican Study Committee, which you're the chairman of, which
right.
is larger. And there's a shared membership, obviously.
Correct.
Members of the Freedom Caucus are in yours as well. So where are we going with this? And I think it basically has to do with how you interact with leadership. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a big part of it. First of all, let me make sure we set the record straight. There's one person talking about this, Mark Meadows, and he has no leadership position whatsoever inside the Freedom Caucus. This is one person talking. And, of course, there doesn't seem to be a lot coming out of Washington since Congress isn't in session today. So he's getting a little media attention on this. That said, there are two ways to deal, to try to advance the conservative agenda in Washington. One is to come up with a bold, positive vision and to work behind the scenes with leadership, not have a public fist fight with them. The other way is to have a public fist fight and stamp your feet and vote no all the time. And I choose the former. And that is to try to come up with a measured way to advance an agenda. And some people want to do something else. And so the Republican Study Committee has been particularly successful this year. If you look at this, a better way agenda, and our listeners can go to better.gop if they want to read it. About 80% of what's in this agenda came from the Republican Study Committee. And we didn't get it by stamping our feet and yelling no. We got it by working, sitting down and working collaboratively with people. And so if you want to advance conservative principles and the conservative agenda, you sit and you try to find a way to do it collaboratively. You don't stand outside and throw rocks at the building. And so that's where we are.
Real quick, short answer. First thing you got to do is come back. We're running out of money at the end of September. You
Correct.
Looking for the short fix or a long-term fix?
What I'd like to see is a fix where we go through March so that we're well into the next administration. I'd like to make sure we keep it out of the lame duck. Also, while we're talking about lame ducks, I want to keep the agenda really tight in the lame duck. Bad things happen in lame ducks after presidential elections.
Certainly. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear our interview archived on our website at WGAW.com. We appreciate the time this morning and coming in to see us.
You bet. It's great to see you again, and I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right. Thank you, sir.